1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm going to read through to verse 20, so stay with me here for just a moment. There was a certain man of that town of the hill country of Ephraim. I mean, has anybody ever been there? I've never been there. I think it's just left of Chesapeake, if I'm not mistaken. Whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuth, an Ephrathite. We really need to go back to biblical names. I mean, you guys use Caleb and Jacob and such, but where's Zuth? He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Just to let you know, I actually looked up how to pronounce Peninnah. That's right. It's Peninnah. Look it up. Now, this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah arose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." And she continued praying before the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. For she said, "I have asked him from the Lord." This morning, I want to share a message I've entitled, God Blesses the Ordinary. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And today is the day that we honor you and your commitment, which is a very honorable calling. To those here this morning who have not been able to have children, though you may have wanted to, we heart with you and we honor your faith. To every grandmother or nana in the building that have stepped up to the plate because, quote, the real mom has abdicated the responsibility or is unable to do so, we honor your sacrifice. For every stepmom, stepparent who has chosen to love those children as your own, we recognize your love and grace. For every foster family that has become an ark of rescue for broken and forgotten children, we recognize that your work is the very epitome of the gospel. For every family that has adopted, we celebrate with you as what you have done shows the world a picture of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And the world may say that being a mother is some form of servitude for women, but we say that God blesses the ordinary work of a mother in impacting future generations. And so today, we call it Mother's Day, but I refer to it as the day we celebrate heroes that some people consider ordinary. How many of you can say you had some moms in your life that were heroes to you, that prayed for you, that believed God for you, that some of you are here today because you had praying, faith-filled mothers who made the commitment to put you first in their life. And so we honor all moms here this morning, and I want to honor all of those who have lost a mother. And I know that as we come to this day, it's hard many times to recognize that the one that you relied on. Some of you, your very best friend, has gone on to be with the Lord. But how many of you know that they are rejoicing around the throne this morning? And so we celebrate their lives. They may be gone, but they are not forgotten. And we love them in Jesus' name. But when we talk about people that make history or leave an impact on the world, we refer to them normally as being exceptional or out of the ordinary. History is full of extraordinary people that we still study and we still talk about. We like to define extraordinary and exceptional people based on fame. Don kind of talked about that a little bit this morning. Normally when we talk about someone who is out of the ordinary, we're normally talking about someone that everybody knows about. Their name is out there. They're famous. Hollywood has a walk of fame that you can go and see stars on the ground and recognize these are great people that have done fabulous things or crazy things or just made a lot of money and they got a star, right? There are channels and magazines that are dedicated to famous folks. Award shows that celebrate famous actors and musicians. Presidents have libraries. Politicians have roads and buildings named after them. Robert C. Byrd has got his name on about everything that West Virginia owns. Sports has its Hall of Fames and record breakers, and they are famous, they're rich, they live in big houses, they do not live what we would consider ordinary lives. So when we look at the extraordinary, we normally look at these folks who are not living the life that is considered, quote, ordinary. But here we are, folks, in West by God, Virginia. We're not so big of a state. We're the butt of a lot of jokes. Amen? Y'all ever heard them? Come on now. I won't tell them. But I've heard them. We've all got our shoes on this morning, right? Everybody wore your shoes. We live in this little state. Marmette, a small town. Living Faith Church is a small church. And it's easy to look around us and think that this is all just ordinary. That we are just ordinary, that what we do is ordinary. But I want you to know this morning, sometimes the ordinary is where we find the extraordinary. That with our ordinary everyday lives, God is at work bringing about His purpose, even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel like it. Why? Because God blesses the ordinary when it is committed to Him. When you take what God has given you and commit it to Him, God blesses the ordinary. And so I want to use the story of a woman of faith as an example of the ordinary doing the extraordinary. I want to take a look at this woman who believed God and was blessed in the middle of ordinary things to have extraordinary things happen in her life. Now, honestly, currently we're in an upswell of a hashtag MeToo movement that I believe has actually brought to the attention misogyny and the abuse of women that needs to be talked about. Obviously, we always swing one way or another, but it is time that we honor ladies and who they are in Jesus' name. Beth Moore, evangelists, and others have also actually brought to the attention of the church our own prejudices when it comes to women and their place in the church. Women have many times been relegated and sidelined in the church for fulfilling a calling because of our reluctance to see that in the kingdom of God there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither male nor female. Our sisters in Christ have been made to feel less than when they have been called just like everyone else. Can I get an amen from the ladies in the building? And this is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the beauty of the message of the gospel. He allowed women to surround Him and follow Him in His ministry. This was actually radical. Rabbis did not do that during that time. Women were seen ministering to Him. Women were the first to witness the resurrected Christ. They were the first evangelists to tell the apostles. Women were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell. The church is full of bold, Holy Ghost-filled women who have not been ashamed to serve the King no matter what others may say. Because, folks, there is nothing ordinary about an on-fire, Holy Ghost-filled woman of God. And there's nothing ordinary like a mother who has gotten angry. So we celebrate the ladies in this church today. And as a church, we want to recognize that you have been called by God to impact a generation. And this doesn't mean that there aren't differences between men and women. I understand in our generation, we have to recognize that there is an identity crisis, and we don't need to get confused and lose sight of the beauty and the complementary nature of masculinity and femininity. There's nothing wrong with that. God created male and female, and each one of us have been stamped with the image of God, and we play the role that God has for us. Especially in marriage and with children, each part that a dad and mom play is vital not only to each other in their relationship, but it's vital to the formation of future generation. We need godly moms and we need godly dads. Can we say amen to that? We need mothers and fathers who are willing to sacrifice their lives and let God ordain it and use it to bless the world. It really does begin in our homes. If we want to see our nation turn, if we want to see revival come, it really begins in our houses as we recognize the presence of God in our homes. How many of you can say amen to that? So today we turn to the story of a woman of faith and God blessing her. I want to look at the story of Hannah and her blessing of becoming a mother as a picture of God doing extraordinary in the middle of the ordinary. Because if you look at this story, look at the ordinary. Hannah is one of two wives. There's nothing really special about Hannah. She's just one of two wives. Not only that, she is never mentioned again after 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21. We never hear Hannah's name again, so throughout the Bible, there are two chapters dedicated to this woman's life. Yet her example of fervent prayer and relentless faith makes an impact on the very story of redemption. I want you to look at what Hannah had to fight through in this story. Number one, it begins in barrenness. Hannah is unable to have children. And of course, during that time, that was seen as a curse. That if a woman was unable, a mother was unable, or a wife was unable to have a child, that wife was considered a curse. So the cards are already stacked against her. The cards are stacked against her, and the Bible even seems to indicate that it was in the providence of God that Hannah was unable to have a child. And so we look at this and say the cards are stacked against her, but she recognizes that that does not have to stop me. And I want all of you to know this morning, we've all been in places where we felt barren in our lives. How many of you will admit to that? Times in our life where we feel like we just can't produce, where we might even feel like we're cursed. Have you ever felt like that everything you touch just falls apart? That everything you're trying to do just does not seem to be working for you? That we've all been in those times in our lives where we have felt barren, where nothing seems to be producing. But I want you to hear this morning that even in our barrenness, God's favor can find us. That no matter where you find yourself in life or how you feel emotionally, I want you to know that God's favor can find you. So she's fighting against barrenness. Number two, she's mocked by the blessed wife. Peninnah has children. And what does she do? Every single year she provokes Hannah, reminding her of her failure, reminding her of her curse. Y'all have anybody in your life like that? Don't point at anyone. We all have people in our lives that are going to stand in opposition to us while we believe God. There's always going to be someone in our life that reminds us of our failure, that reminds us of our mistake. There's always going to be someone in our life that no matter how much we do, they're always going to point out what you haven't done. You ever met anyone like that? Anybody have a boss like that? No. No matter how much you produce, you should have produced this. I wouldn't have done it that way. How many of you have heard it? I know you did it, but I wouldn't have done it that way. There's always people in your life that are going to stand in opposition to you, are going to mock the fact that you're believing God, that don't want to believe with you, that are going to try to point you out and show you your failures, but that doesn't have to make you stop. Here's what's so awesome about Hannah. I don't see her complaining. I don't see her retaliating. I just see her seeking God. She's barren. She's mocked by the blessed wife. Number three, she has a clueless husband. Any wives want to say amen? I don't know. She has a clueless husband. Now, to Elkanah's credit, he obviously loves Hannah. The Bible tells us that Elkanah loved Hannah, had a heart for Hannah. For a matter of fact, when they came up to the temple and he gave a portion, he would give a portion to Peninnah, but he would give a double portion to Hannah because he loved her, even though she was unable to produce children. You know, during that time, men may have rejected a wife that was unable to produce the son that they wanted. But he loved Hannah and gave a second portion to her. But as Hannah's heart breaks over being barren, Elkanah basically just gives her a speech about how much she should be satisfied with him. Ain't I enough, baby? Come on. Look at me. And the point of the matter is not that Hannah didn't love Elkanah or that Elkanah wasn't a good man. Hannah was maybe head over heels in love with Elkanah. That was not the point. Sometimes we have people in our lives that mean well, but they just can't seem to get it. They mean well, but they just can't get under the surface. And come on, husbands, we're surface people. What's the problem? Let's fix it. All right, let's move on. You don't want to get to the heart of the thing. You've not discussed the problem. Come on, men. Wake up, Elkanah. Wake up. You're all that, but she needs a lot more. But we all have those people in our lives that they just can't get what you're believing for. They look at you and say, what are you believing God for that for? What makes you think that God could do that in your life? I don't understand why you're doing this, why you're going here, why you feel like this is what you're supposed to do for God. But you've got to keep on going. You've got to keep on pushing through. Listen, folks, if you're going to obey God, you're always going to have opposition. And it may not be a clueless husband, but it'll be someone that doesn't understand what's going on. What's she fighting against? Started with barrenness. She's mocked by the blessed wife. She's got a husband that loves her, but just doesn't get it. And number four, she has no help from the church. She's got no help from the church. As Hannah pours out her heart before God, the Bible says she was moving her mouth because she was praying in her heart, but there aren't any words coming out. And old, great, discerning Eli says, this woman's drunk. I don't know about you, but if I'm in church and somebody's at the altar and their mouth's moving, my first reaction is not, are you drunk? Yeah. I'm not sure what was happening here. Maybe she was, I don't know what she was doing to make Eli think that she was drunk. But I mean, here she is pouring her heart out before God. She's praying. She's just moving her mouth, right? She's just seeking the Lord. And so here's Eli. Well, you must be drunk. Thank you, Pastor, for not having enough discernment to see what's really going on here. Thank you for seeing that what I'm going through. So here's Hannah. She's doing everything she can to seek the Lord, everything she can to make sure that her heart is before God, everything she can to make sure that her faith is rising and her passion is directed towards the Lord. And the one who should be encouraging her, the one who should be standing with her and showing her what it takes to believe God, thinks she's drunk. Now, there may be some people in your life that think you're drunk or think you're crazy because you believe God. They may think you've lost your mind because you're walking by faith. They may think that you went over the deep end because, oh my gosh, in the middle of worship service, you lifted a hand. Look at that crazy guy. When you start standing by faith, there's always going to be people who come along and say, you're believing for something way too big. You're crazy. You've lost your mind. But don't stop believing in what God has for your life, because even the impossible can be a reality when you believe. So the things that she had to fight against, she's fighting against barrenness. She's fighting against a mocking friend, right? She's got a clueless husband. The church isn't even helping her out very much. And there might be times in your life, folks, that you thought that the ones that surrounded you in the pews were the ones that were going to rally with you, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't. You know, I've heard people say, you know, I've got friends in the world that I like hanging around with better than friends in the church. And that's unfortunate, isn't it? I think one of the reasons why is because in the church, you don't really get to pick your friends. God does. God brings all these ragtag people together, and then you got to call them family. Some of you are sitting in the pew thinking, I don't know if I'd have picked half of you. That's why you're not God. Sometimes the church is not there for you, but I can tell you that your Father in heaven always will be. So there's three things that Hannah also does. First of all, she's moved by faith on the word. After explaining to Eli her vexation of spirit in prayer, Eli blesses her and speaks God's blessing over her. It was when Hannah heard this word that she got up, cleaned herself up, went to eat, and say, may your blessing be upon my life. Her entire attitude and demeanor changed when she got a word from God. She didn't wait for her prayer to be answered to change her perspective. She moved on the word. She didn't wait until she was pronounced that she was pregnant. She moved upon the blessing of the word that the man of God who finally had enough discernment to give her. Right? She believed that it would be answered because she knew it was now God's will. And as we look at this story, the story is not necessarily a story about women believing for children. There are times in our lives that we may not always understand what God is doing when it comes to that area of life, and I leave that up to the work and the plan and the purpose of God. But what it does show is that when we have a word from God, when we know what the word says, when we have a promise that has been given to us by God, folks, we can move by faith. We can smile. We can change our attitude. We can change our demeanor, because if he has spoken it, he will fulfill it. Amen. Number two, she worshiped by faith in advance. After the blessing was pronounced, the Bible says she went and worshiped. In chapter 2, she actually sings a song of praise to God after the child is born because of the favor of God on her life. But she didn't just sing about the child. She worshiped because God was faithful. She worshiped because she had received the word. And church, I need you to know today, I don't know what you're waiting for, or believing for, or standing in faith for, but God is faithful, and God is good, and God loves you, and God's favor is being extended to you. And you have every reason in the world right now at this very moment to lift your hands and your heart in worship to God, because he is faithful. Because God is God and I'm not. And I know that he's at work in my life, and I can worship by faith because I know that his words are truth. See, many times this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we divide those who win and those who end up being defeated, is when those who decide, I'm going to praise God in the middle of the situation. I'm going to praise God in the middle of my heartache. I'm going to praise God in the middle of what I'm going through, in the middle of my confusion, in the middle of my uncertainty, all the decisions I've got to make. I'm not for sure what I'm going to do with my life. You high school graduates, college graduates, you've got so many decisions you've got to make. Worship God right in the middle of it, because if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, if you will acknowledge him in all your ways, he will direct your path. God is good. Hannah worshiped in advance. And number three, she gave what the Lord gave her back to God. She made a vow to God that if he gave her a son, she would give him back to God as a servant. She even named him Samuel, which means the Lord hears or the Lord answers. She gave him back to God. I want everybody to know here this morning, every blessing given to us from God belongs to him, and it's for his glory. Some of you are really talented. You're really gifted, right? And those talents, those gifts, yeah, they were passed down from maybe mom and dad, maybe grandma and grandpa. There's some of you can sing the paint off the wall, right? And it's beautiful. I mean, the whole Boggs family, it's unfair. Come on, y'all know, am I not telling the truth? It's completely unfair. But what we see happening right here in front of us is that they're using their giftings to do what? Glorify God, to lift up Jesus Christ. Because these gifts, the Bible says every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good, every perfect gift that we have comes down from God. I believe in working hard, and I believe you've worked hard to get what you've got, but God gave you the strength to work hard to get what you've got. Don't ever forget that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the people and all that dwell therein. This is my Father's world. But every gift that God has given us, and I reiterate what I said at the beginning, when you have a gift and you commit it to God, then God takes ordinary gifts and turns them into extraordinary things. God blesses the ordinary when you commit it to Him. Now, what do we see from the story of Hannah? It's not just about women. It's not just about mothers. But it's just about the fact that God has a purpose and He's doing something in his life. God knows what He's doing. How many of you believe that? When this chapter started out, Hannah was barren. And the Bible tells us that the Lord had closed her womb. And we don't always understand what God does or the providence of God or the sovereignty of God. I'm not God, so I can't always answer those questions. And so we start off with what sounded like bad news, but then we see the favor of God and we see Hannah's situation turn. Why? Because there's a bigger picture to what we're seeing in the purpose of God. And I want all of you to know this morning, even in your barren times, God has a purpose. That even in your barren times, you can still worship God. You can still bless His name. That even when you feel like you're in a place that you don't want to be, we have to learn to worship where we're at. We have to learn to obey God where we are. We need to learn to praise Him where we're located. But God has a bigger picture. How many of you know that? How many of you have ever seen God? You've been in the middle of something. You've worried. You've fretted. You've lost sleep. You've chewed your fingernails off. You've pulled hair out. You've screamed. You've yelled. You've bitten your spouse's head off. You've kicked the dog. You've been mad. Prayed and prayed and screamed at devils and did everything. Right? And finally God moves in your life and it's in a way that you didn't really see happening. And then you step back and you're like, you know, God had a better plan than I had. Amen. God had a bigger picture than what I didn't see. And how many of you can say that you've received a revelation of Jesus in those times of hardship that are even deeper and greater than the revelations you receive when everything's going fantastic? And so God has a purpose in the middle of all of this. Hannah gave birth to Samuel. Samuel becomes the last judge of Israel and a prophet who will go on to anoint not only Saul, who is the first king of Israel, but also David. From David comes the lineage of the Messiah. So what started out as an ordinary prayer from an ordinary woman that had odds stacked against her led to the birth of a son who would grow to be used by God in the story of redemption. Yeah. Hannah was ordinary, but her prayers were not ordinary. Her service to God was not ordinary. Her faith was not ordinary. And from her ordinary life came Samuel, who was an ordinary child, but grew to be a prophet of God, who walked with the Lord, a judge of Israel, who anointed Saul, who anointed David, and from David comes the Messiah. The story also shows us that God is for the little people. He's for the outsiders. He's for the forgotten. He's for the broken. God is for the ordinary. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning of verse 26, it says this, For consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. How many of you can say amen to that? Some of you think you're smarter than you are, but most of us weren't wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being may boast in the presence of God. We may feel ordinary, and we may feel like we're on the outside sometimes. Maybe we feel forgotten. Maybe we feel like that we really have nothing to contribute to society, but His grace has called us to be righteous and sanctified and redeemed. His grace has called us to be His child, to walk in His blessings and know His love. His grace has called us to walk in victory and overcome the enemy and live a life of joy and peace that passes all understanding. His grace says, I'll heal you and I'll deliver you and I'll set you free. You are special and beautiful in the eyes of God. He has carved your name on the palm of His hand. You belong to Him. You are not ordinary because God is not ordinary. Yeah, you're of this earth, and dust we are, and to dust we shall return. But our hearts and our souls belong to a Creator who does all things well. You may feel this morning like your everyday life is just ordinary. And let me say to you this morning, it probably is. Your life probably is ordinary. I don't know if anybody's going to be famous in here one of these days. Some of you tried. You didn't make it. God bless you. You tried, you didn't get there, right? One of these days, Logan's going to make millions of dollars either playing sports or operating on somebody or doing something. Avery's going to end up being a millionaire because he's a salesman. So I can retire. Some of you, maybe you strive for it and you feel like your life is just ordinary, and it probably is, but you must always remember that whatever is done for the kingdom of God is never ordinary. When you serve the Lord and when you follow after Him and when you work in the kingdom, folks, we are dealing with eternal things. We are called to walk in the extraordinary mission of pointing people to Jesus. There is nothing ordinary about salvation. There's nothing ordinary about someone turning from darkness to light. There's nothing ordinary about rescuing perishing souls with the extraordinary good news of Jesus Christ. You may feel ordinary, but we serve an extraordinary God who has called us to do extraordinary things. See, we talk about motherhood and that investment in people's lives, but really, anytime we decide to invest in someone's life, whether you're a parent and you have a child, or whether you're just someone who loves people and you want to invest in their lives, you are doing something extraordinary. You are doing something eternal. So in closing this morning, to the mothers out there, you are doing something extraordinary. You are the givers of life, lives that will exist forever. Your impact of love and commitment to your children may never be seen until heaven. Your sleepless nights and tear-filled prayers, your ferocious protection and your cheerleading voices, your unshakable belief in your children, even when they fail, has not been overlooked. What you do and what you have done is extraordinary. We honor you this morning. And we honor every parent, every grandparent, every aunt and uncle, every brother and sister, every person who has decided to love someone, who has decided to share your faith with someone, who's decided to let their light shine. We honor you this morning because you're doing extraordinary things. Every person who has sacrificed their own time to invest in someone else's life, you are doing something extraordinary. You feel ordinary, but there are no ordinary people in the kingdom of God. There are no ordinary people in the kingdom of God. We're not in a competition. We're not trying to get better than somebody else. We're just following Jesus and loving people because God does. And so this morning we celebrate motherhood in the beauty of all that it is. But we also celebrate any life who has decided to pour their heart into somebody else. God blesses the ordinary. God blesses the ordinary. And if you will pray and if you will continue to believe God, if God has given you a promise, He will fulfill His word. He will fulfill His word in your life.